Our scripture lesson today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you always obey me, not just when I am present, but now even more while I am away, carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out his good purposes. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, innocent children of God, surrounded by people who are crooked and corrupt. Among these people, you shine like stars in the world because you hold onto the word of life. This will allow me to say on the day of Christ that I haven't run for nothing or worked for nothing. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Karen. And friends, from being blessed by the Lord's Prayer in Swahili this morning, to going up yonder to the beautiful bells we've heard, we have been blessed in worship today. We've experienced what it is to rejoice in the Lord through music. And thank you for the reading of Scripture this morning, Karen. I'm Pastor Tom Palmer. I'm a work-in-progress person and pastor in a work-in-progress congregation. And so if you're a guest with us today and you don't have it all together all the time, you've come to the right place. It's a place of grace, and it's been a place of grace for over 140 years, a place where all are beloved. All belong, and all can become the person God has called us to be through the grace, the transforming, life-giving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue a message series entitled 30 Days of Gratitude, and it's a time where we're encouraged to bring our own Bibles, BYOB, bring your own Bible during the month of November, because we're going to be working through the letter of Philippians. Today we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, but Philippians, this great letter from the New Testament, is like a primer on gratitude. And we need that. We need gratitude. Gratitude is a matter of life and death. Gratitude has obvious spiritual benefits. It's a benefit to recognize who we are as God's creation, God's created ones, and that God is our creator. And to acknowledge that last night before I went to bed, I did not say heart continue beating, lungs continue taking in air, but they worked for me all night as a gift from God. And we had this gift this day, a gift of life this day. None of us had it promised in our calendar. It is a gift for us this day. We have been given the gift of life for this November the 10th, 2019. And we've been given the gift of new life in Christ. This gift of forgiveness and love through Jesus Christ, that we are the beloved daughters, the beloved sons of God through Jesus Christ. We've been given this gift that has obvious spiritual benefits, but there's also benefits of greater sense of happiness. Those that practice gratitude experience a greater level of happiness, a greater level of well-being in body, mind, and spirit. And it's also a greater sense of wellness in our relationships. I need those benefits. And you do too. But there's also a realization of these benefits in contrast with the other, the opposite, which is grumbling. Gratitude, practicing gratitude versus practicing grumbling. Grumbling is finding that cloud in every silver lining and telling others about it. And grumbling is discouraged in the Scripture. It's discouraged because it has no spiritual benefits. Just read through the journeys of the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings, and you'll see there are no spiritual benefits from grumbling. There's also no health benefits from grumbling. I've searched these studies, friends, and I found there's no health benefits for grumbling. Now, maybe the AACP is going to fund a study. You know, the AACP, it's the American Association of Cranky People. They might fund a study and see. You know, but I know of no health benefits from being crabby. I think we have a picture of that embodies a crankiness here. The crankiness. You know, there is this this reality that crankiness does not help us in our relationships. There's no award that is given every year annually for the crankiest person in society. There's no award for the Dallas Symphony Orchestra for the crankiest member of the orchestra. Is there, Anastasia? I'm not aware of anything in our annual conference of the United Methodist Church. We don't give an annual award for the crankiest pastor of all. There are several excellent candidates, but there's no award given. There's no award given for the crankiest pastor. And I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be the kind of person that you know, is known as well, he smiles at church, but when he gets home, you know, it's Reverend Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, I don't want to be known for that. You don't want to be known for that. So how do we experience the benefits of gratitude and reduce the deficits that come from grumbling, as the Scripture names it, from grumbling? Well, increasing gratitude. You would think conventional wisdom, and there's one school of thought that if it's really up to God, because if God blessed me more, okay, hear this, if God blessed me more, I would be more grateful. Okay, so God is really up to you. You bless me, and I will be more grateful. You give me what I want, and I will be grateful. Okay? Now, what do we call a child that gets everything that they want? Spoiled. He or she is considered spoiled. And by the way, that has no age limit in terms of human experience. M. Scott Peck was a military psychiatrist, and after his retirement from the military, he had a practice in suburban D.C., a very affluent area, and he began to see people coming into his office who had, in that affluent area, pretty much life had gone their way through their journey, but they had gotten to a point where it wasn't going their way anymore, that they were having some health problems and their the aging process. There was no amount of cosmetic surgery that could reduce the aging process, and they were angry. It was like they were shaking their fist at the heavens and saying, "Waiter, this is not the life I ordered. I've always had it my way. But having it our way, sometimes when we are blessed, if we're not careful, we can begin to expect that, and we can begin to also feel we're entitled to that, and we become less grateful rather than more grateful. Sean Acker is a CEO and is a Harvard graduate from Waco, Texas. Harvard graduate, and his experience in there at Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Harvard. He was asked to stay on at Harvard to work with the freshmen that were coming in. And what he noticed about the freshmen coming in, his expectation was these are people that are coming to Harvard. I mean, they're at Harvard, for goodness sakes. These are some of the most fortunate people on planet Earth. They're at Harvard. And they get to eat in places like Annenberg Hall. I've got a picture of Annenberg Hall. It looks like something out of Hogwarts, for goodness sakes. I mean, they get to be at Harvard. They get to eat in these places. They get to experience these places. And what he found out is that the people who were at Harvard were focused on the negatives, on the workload, on the stress and the pressure, and the homework. Oh, the homework. Harvard is the worst. Harvard's the worst. I mean, the only thing that could be worse is being at Yale, but Harvard is the worst. But then Sean Achor went for a few weeks to another place to talk about his findings, and that place was a township in South Africa called Soweto. And he began working with students in Soweto. And what he found is that those students were in very much less than ideal circumstances. When the topic of homework came up, they were grateful for their homework because they get to be in school and they get to learn. They get to be in school and they get to learn. They get to be in school and they get to learn. Harvard is the worst. I have to... all this homework. Soweto. I get to be in school. I get to learn. See, sometimes having it your way, sometimes we can think we just have it coming to us. We get to expect it and we become entitled to it and we don't experience gratitude. We don't express gratitude. And sometimes in the less than ideal, sometimes we are surprised by gratitude. We're surprised that those moments of gratitude can lead to grace and transformation. Paul was in a less than ideal setting when he wrote the letter to the Philippians. In terms of contemporary experience, it was much more like the shanty towns of Soweto than the halls of Harvard, Annenberg Hall of Harvard. He was there in prison and he was awaiting sentencing by not just any Roman emperor, but the Roman emperor Nero, who had no affinity for Jews or Christians and did not have an acute sense of justice at any rate. He was awaiting sentencing by Nero. And he had already been sentenced by some Christians. Some Christians who were at crossways with Paul actually rejoiced that he was in jail. He's getting what he deserves. But not all Christians were that way. The church at Philippi was not that way. The church at Philippi stood by him and supported him. And they were not in the best of circumstances themselves. They were in the Macedonian area, which is noted for its poverty. They were having struggles in their own church, and they were experiencing persecution. They were beginning to suffer because they named the name of Jesus Christ, that they were followers of Jesus Christ. They were actually suffering. And so Paul writes this letter, and you could understand it if Paul, you would use this letter to people who were struggling, who people were in less than ideal circumstances like himself, to vent a little bit. Like this is the thanks we get, right? We're faithful and this is the thanks we get. Don't we deserve a little better than this? But Paul never says, this is the thanks I get. He gives thanks. He chooses to rejoice. He chooses to look for good. And so he says in this letter, he opens this chapter 2, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from God's unconditional love, if there's any fellowship in the Holy Spirit, if there's any sense of sympathy and compassion in the congregation, then let go of any attitude of entitlement and follow the one who let go of what he was entitled to. See, Jesus, though in the form of God, didn't consider staying in that equality of heaven as something to be exploited. But Paul says he emptied himself. See, that's the thing that it's important for us to know, is that the second member of the Trinity, God the Son, where was he before Bethlehem? Well, the Gospel of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that the Word, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. The Word, the Eternal One, became flesh, became a human being. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Jesus didn't stay in the comfort of heaven, in the comfort of his home, but he came. He emptied himself. He's the ultimate veteran who didn't stay home but went to fight the war against evil and sin and death, and to win the victory that we all enjoy. He didn't stay entitled. He didn't consider himself entitled to, this is what I deserve, the glory of heaven. But he emptied himself. He humbled himself. And therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so therefore, because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in God's love, any fellowship of the Spirit and compassion, follow the one who let go of his entitlement and loved. Let go as you follow him, Tom Palmer, of any spirit of entitlement. I don't deserve that. Let go of any spirit of entitlement that can choke the spirit, can choke us spiritually, and humbly receive the gifts of God. The encouragement that is ours in Christ, the comfort of God's love, that we are the beloved daughters and sons of God, the fellowship of the Spirit, this compassion that we can experience one with the other, and give thanks, and practice gratitude, and practice gratitude, and practice gratitude. Grumbling that comes from an entitlement spirit is like a cancer to our souls. A humble spirit that looks for the gifts of God and is grateful gives life. Anybody can be a grumbler. I mean, it's pretty easy. I do a great job of it. I'm good at it. Anybody can do that. They're a dime a dozen. Entitled people are a dime a dozen. The people who humble themselves, look for the gifts of God, and look for what to be grateful for, Paul says they shine. Philippians, practice gratitude and you will shine. You will stand out. Your light will shine. Your light will shine. Friends, anybody can walk outside today and say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful fall day in North Texas. Amen? Amen. I want to hear you give thanks on Tuesday, okay? I want to give thanks on Tuesday. Oh, this cold weather that's going to reduce the population of fire ants. Oh, I'll give thanks for that. How about that? How about that? How about that? How about that? It's a choice. Gratitude or grumbling. It is a choice. It's a mindset. And we can choose the gift of gratitude. And it's life-giving, friends. I called this week that's before us. I called this week with some without a whole lot of thought. I said this is a week to be a grumble-free week. Well, I'm going to start with a grumble-free hour. Okay, I'm going to start that way. Maybe that's the best way to start. But let's start. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.